What are we talking about?
Well, no, I'm going to give you a statistic on the point of that no one really, most Americans have no clue what we're talking about. 62% of Americans in a recent survey done don't know what the word fracking or hydraulic fracturing means. So, you know, here where it's actually been a pretty significant chunk of rhetoric lately, we're an outlier. So whoever in the room is not familiar with fracking is the majority nationally.
I'll just add that the aspects of this that have been most controversial, the idea of fracturing rock has also been around for decades. It's been done vertically, so they drill a well and then they can fracture out vertically. But by combining hydraulic fracturing, right, shattering the rock with high pressure water, and the horizontal drilling going out thousands of feet, you get what's called high volume hydraulic fracturing. And that's really what we're talking about. It's hydraulic fracturing using very large volumes of water, anywhere from 5 to 7 or 8 million gallons per well. This industrial process has been used successfully on a smaller scale. Now what's happening is, in order to get the gas that Andrew had described on these horizontal legs, it's being done at a much larger scale, and as a result, you have a series of problems that you did not have before.
Eric, I think it would be nice to hear from you. You know, New York has proposed drilling, you know, at some point in the future, perhaps as many as 1,500 wells a year. You know, what would be the impact on wildlife habitats and aquatic habitats if we were to drill at that pace?
The point here is that fracking in the Marcellus and Utica shales, 40,000 square miles, if you include New York, we don't know what's going to happen here yet. And all the other shale gas regions of the United States and other parts of the world, because fracking is being practiced in Europe as well as here. You can look at a map online that was posted by the Energy Information Agency of the shale gas plays across the United States. There's an enormous amount of land that's involved. So my point is simply that whatever happens is going to be a very, very large impact on biological diversity and many other things. And we don't know what most of that is going to be, because partly because the studies simply haven't been done to produce the information that we would need to make that analysis. Many of the species that, many of the thousands of species of animals and plants and fungi and so forth that are going to be affected, for better or for worse, by fracking just in the eastern U.S. are what we call little known or poorly known species. We just don't know enough about them to understand what salinization, chemical contamination, forest fragmentation, and so on are going to do to these species. So that we're, you know, basically pitching an enormous project out into the darkness of space, and we don't know where it's going to go.
George, I'm going to get the next ask you to speak. The next question: the gas industry loves to say we've been doing this for a long time. We really know a lot about it. So why don't we know? If the gas industry has been drilling these wells a long time and using this technique a long time, you know, what do we know? Like, what do we know from Pennsylvania, for instance? They drilled a lot of wells there. They seem to have made a lot of mistakes that we could learn from.
Yeah, my perspective is a little more above ground. There have been some pretty detailed landscape analyses in Pennsylvania, and one of the major consequences that's arisen so far with their, I believe, 15,000 wells, whatever, their forests, they used to have an awful lot more core forest, which is a special type of intact canopy. And that's where some of the rarest species reside, and it's become perforated. They're losing core forest. That's one of my concerns for New York. Below ground, it's such a mystery. I'll bet every well has its own features that have to be somehow assessed if you want the perfect answer to those questions. But at least the above ground, whatever you want to call it, degradation, change, alteration, is relatively similar from place to place, and I think we can project that and model it and see what New York is going to look like in 10, 20, 50 years.
I'd like to go back to George's comment about fragmentation for a moment, perforation, fragmentation of the forest and its effect on animals and plants as well, because plants the pollinators of certain kinds of plants, for example, may have requirements for intact forest. This is an impact of fracking that can't be mitigated or avoided. This may be the single most recalcitrant impact of fracking. It's received very little attention in Pennsylvania or New York or anywhere else. So this is really something to think about. If the industry says we can improve what we're doing and avoid these impacts, if your broker says, I'm going to negotiate with the drilling companies and get them to improve their practices and then you can buy their stocks, or you're a bird watcher or a biologist and you think, well, yeah, you know, this problem will solve itself. It won't. That is a problem that won't solve itself. Because horizontal fracking is by nature a dispersed activity. The horizontal part of the well can extend a mile from the actual well pad. And so the well pads have to be spaced out so that the wells from the individual well pads are not crisscrossing each other. And that is the pattern that creates the forest fragmentation that George was talking about and that I was talking about.
Many municipalities are considering things that are called moratoria, but some of the exact language of the moratoria may need to be tuned up because it appears that the state reserves the right to regulate. It looks as though the state may not have the right to prevent locally. Does any of you have any comment on language that belongs in an effective moratorium, something that will stand up to state action?
Excellent question.
I can address that issue in a general way, understanding that this is in the courts right now, but the fundamental issue is that there's a state law that reserves to New York State the regulatory authority over oil and gas drilling. The only things that the municipalities by statute are able to regulate are the roads and the property taxes. So when the municipalities are now trying to exercise what is fundamentally a zoning power to try to keep this out, there's a clash. Because on the one hand you have the state preemption, and on the other hand you have local rights and New York's history of home rule, and it's a classic legal issue. Now I will say that DEC in the 2011 draft muddied the waters because it said that it was going to, and the words were something like be respectful of or pay attention to the local government desires, and that just set people's heads spinning because what does it mean? And the governor has made it clear that I think philosophically he believes that this is something that the local governments should have some say over. And that's, you know, that's classic public policy, but the courts are going to decide it, and it may have to be changed by statute. So I don't think there's anything that can go into a particular local, you know, law that's going to address that issue. It's a bigger picture, statutory, you know, state preemption kind of problem.
Who regulates the pipelines?
The PSC.
Okay, as far as the routing or siting of a pipeline?
They have to issue a certificate of necessity. No, they preempt the municipality on it. And the level of regulation depends on the pressure of the pipelines. It's a whole other issue.
On this side of the 30.